From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Congress is back, and so am I. It's actually good to be back behind the microphone here in D.C. Again, my appreciation to Sarah and Eben for filling in for me this past month. As I said, D.C. is back in full swing as Congress returns today from their summer break. And to kick things off, House Republicans will be holding a hearing on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act tomorrow. It's an effort to bring attention to a measure that Nancy Pelosi has been blocking. Congressman Ron Estes of Kansas, who will be at the hearing taking critical testimony from doctors and nurses about why we should protect babies who have survived a botched abortion and have been born alive, will join me in just a moment. As well, House Majority Leader or Whip Steve Scalise, who has been a key driver of the Born Alive bill. Also in Hong Kong today, thousands of students formed a human chain outside of their schools before the bell rang across the country to show solidarity in the push for democratic reforms after a violent weekend with clashes in the semi-autonomous Chinese territory. Asian expert Gordon Chang, just back from Hong Kong, will be here with the latest. And how can you help in the relief effort in the Bahamas? The latest count, 45 people dead, many still missing, 13,000 homes destroyed or seriously damaged. 70,000 people are homeless. Franklin Graham's daughter, Sissy Graham Lynch of Samaritan's Purse, is here with a report on the relief effort and how you can help. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Let me remind you, we're getting very, very close to the Values Voter Summit coming up October the 11th through the 13th. To find out how you can be a part of this great event, go to TonyPerkins.com. All right. After Speaker Nancy Pelosi and House leadership on the Democratic side have blocked a vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act more than 80 times, they've also refused to schedule a hearing or to sign the discharge petition for the bill. So the Republican minority in the House of Representatives have scheduled a hearing on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act tomorrow. Joining me now is Republican Congressman Ron Estes, who represents the 4th District of Kansas and serves on the Ways and Means Committee. He'll be participating in this hearing tomorrow. Congressman Estes, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. It's great to be back. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this so important piece of legislation. You know, it's sad when we talk in the United States of America about a baby being born, in this case, after a botched abortion, but that we don't require the medical care that we would give other Americans. And it's something important that we need to do and make sure we can get the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act passed through Congress.
And I think we got to use the proper terms. I mean, this is infanticide is what's taking place here. And I know that there are many in Congress that are wanting to stop this. And I would have to imagine, Congressman Estes, that you and many of your colleagues are extremely frustrated after 80 attempts to try to get a vote on this on the House floor, only to be blocked each and every time.
It really is frustrating. You know, one of the things that you don't really appreciate until you're here is how much power the speaker controls over what items get to the floor. And we've requested 80 times to bring this bill to the floor. Let's have an up or down vote on it. And people can vote their conscience, vote the policy, vote the politics if that's the way they want to vote. But we think it's so important that, you know, babies that are born after a failed abortion, they ought to be given the medical care. And there's 200 of us, over 200. I think there's 201 of us now that have signed what's called a discharge petition. And it's a procedure that we have. If we can get 218 people to sign the discharge petition, then it forces the speaker to bring it to the floor. And so we're continuing to work on that process. But we just think good legislation ought to be able to be voted on. And this is one of those things that really requires healthcare practitioners, doctors, and nurses to take care of babies.
Well, and I think this is more than just another piece of legislation. I mean, I think this is, in many ways, is a part of defining who we are as a nation. Will we as a people, as a nation, will we allow babies to be born alive and then to either be killed or allowed to die? I mean, is that who we are as America? And that is really what's at stake here, whether or not we pass this piece of legislation and allow a practice that some governors, like the governor of New York, have embraced as a standard of public policy.
It really is. You hit the nail on the head. You know, what is it that defines us as a country? And we talk so much about protecting those that can't protect themselves. And in this case, a baby that's born that needs all of our protection, needs all of our care. And you said some states, New York and some others, are actually gone out and say that it's legal and that they should be practicing this death, this murder in reality after that baby's been born. And it's something that we shouldn't stand for as Americans.
Now, Congressman Estes, we're going to be joined in just a few moments by Minority Whip Steve Scalise, who's been a key driver in this. But you have a role to play tomorrow in the hearing. You're going to be taking a testimony from doctors and nurses. Tell us about that.
That's right. We have several doctors that are going to come speak to us tomorrow and talk about what they've seen in terms of in neonatal care units, whether OBGYNs at a rape center and what they've seen, how Planned Parenthood has actually promulgated this this abortion process and killing the babies that are born. One nurse in particular, one of her stories is that there was a baby that was actually just left to die after the abortion, and she cared for it as best she could before it died. And it's really a sad state that this is what America's coming down to, that we even have to have this argument about human life and whether we would degrade it to such levels. I mean, it's almost reminiscent of what you think about in the Holocaust and dictators around the world who so mistreat fellow human beings.
Let me allow you to address an issue that the opponents of this bill, those that are refusing to allow a vote to take place. Now, granted, they can vote however they want, but they don't want anybody to vote, so they're refusing to allow this to come to the floor. But they're saying this is a solution looking for a problem, that there's no reason for this, no justification exists for this legislation. What do you say to that?
Well, there are other laws on the books, including the 2002 Born Alive law, but they don't carry penalties for failure to carry out the care of that newborn baby. And we believe that any newborn child, wanted or not, has a right to proper medical care. And that's really what the Born Alive Survivors Protection Act was designed to do. And there's so many of us in the conference that have talked about this is so important for us that, you know, we ought to make that part of what we stand for as Americans. And I'm glad that you mentioned that the Minority Whip Scalise is going to be on a little bit later. And, you know, he helped pull together the hearing tomorrow that we're having. And, you know, it was a struggle. I mean, the speaker wouldn't even allow us to have a committee room. Not only would they not schedule a hearing, but they wouldn't allow us to have a hearing room. And that's why we've got to go to a conference room to have this hearing. But we're pushing forward with it. We think it's a common sense approach. We think it really does define us as Americans and what's important, that we protect life from the moment that they're born.
Well, and the reporting requirements are such that only a handful of states actually report on the cases of born alive infants who survive an attempt of an abortion. But of those that do report, we know that there are cases of children being born alive. So we know that this is an issue. We, you know, whether it's, you know, a handful or whether we actually know it's into the hundreds. But it's significant that it's taking place. And the law should be very clear that if a child is born alive, that medical attention should not be withheld from that child. And that's all that this legislation does. It, as you said, there's already laws on the books but no enforcement. This would ensure that medical professionals would be required, if a baby is born alive, heart beating, it's alive, it is a baby, that health care be given to that child. That's all it does.
That's right. I mean, that baby that's born alive should be given the same medical treatment that any other newborn baby gets. And we think that it's important we talk about. And, you know, like you said, we don't know whether it's hundreds or thousands or how many the number is, because it is underreported and not tracked in so many places. But it gets back to what is the standard that we want to have for America. And we've always talked about standing up for folks that can't take care of themselves. And a newborn baby's a perfect example of that we need to provide them medical care.
All right. Congressman Ron Estes, thank you so much for taking time to join us today. And we'll be watching very closely the hearing tomorrow.
All right. Thank you very much.
It's Congressman Ron Estes of Kansas. And by the way, on that number, according to the CDC, going from 2000 to 2014, just a handful of states actually report to the CDC on these cases, but it's over 500 of children that have been born alive. All right, joining us now is the minority whip in the House of Representatives. Congressman Steve Scalise represents the 1st Congressional District of my home state of Louisiana. And he, along with Ann Wagner, have really been the driving force behind this bill. Steve, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, always great to be with you.
All right, tomorrow, 1 o'clock, in room in the House Visitor Center 215, there will be a hearing. We were just talking about a little bit with Ron Estes. Describe what's going to take place tomorrow in this hearing, as well as the reason for the hearing.
Well, Tony, thanks, and I appreciate you having Ron on. He's been helpful in this, too. And, you know, Ann Wagner took the leadership on this when she filed the bill, this Congress, to basically give real full protection to a baby that's born alive outside the womb. And you've seen this. There have been failed abortions where the baby lives. And yet now we've seen state after state, like New York and Virginia even, saying that they want to be able to kill the baby after it's born alive outside the womb and call that abortion. And Tony, to most people in this country, they know that's murder. And yet under the law in many states, those babies don't have that protection. So the Born Alive Act gives that full protection to the babies who are born alive. And tomorrow's hearing is going to be real important because we're trying to get this bill brought to the floor, even though Pelosi doesn't want to bring it. And we need about 15 more Democrats to sign on. Every single Republican has signed on. So we're going to have a hearing tomorrow, as you said, over in the House Visitor Center Room 215. It's going to be streamed live. You can actually watch it. We're going to have some abortion survivors, people who have survived an attempted abortion, who will live to tell about it. And of course, you see in the media, they're trying to act like this doesn't even happen. And yes, it does happen. And again, even if it didn't, there shouldn't be any question in law. And so we're going to have a hearing with some of those survivors, some medical professionals, and members of Congress on this bill.
Steve, how can folks watch the live streaming of this?
We'll get you the link, Tony, and you can post it.
Okay.
So, you know, right now you can go through the House Republican Whip's office, but we'll get a link to you where it can be streamed live. It'll be on YouTube.
Okay, we'll get it up on TonyPerkins.com. All right, Steve, you know that music means we're out of time, but maybe we can follow up with you tomorrow and get a readout on the hearing. Thanks so much for taking time
Absolutely.
To join us. And thanks again for leading on this very, very important issue. All right, folks, that's tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern time. I'll have a link up later at TonyPerkins.com where you can watch that live. Don't go away. Coming back with Gordon Chang on Hong Kong next.
Happy birthday to you.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Are you concerned with the state of our nation? Do you want to protect and promote religious freedom, the sanctity of life, free speech, and our children's educations? Today we see a growing threat against our values on the news, on our college campuses, in our elementary schools, at our public libraries, and in our courts. Every year in Washington, D.C., thousands of conservatives attend FRC Action's Values Voters Summit. From October 11th to the 13th, come to our nation's capital to mingle with and hear from key conservatives who are bringing real change to Washington, D.C., and learn how you can too. FRC President Tony Perkins will be there, along with Ali Stuckey, Bill Bennett, Dana Lash, Oliver North, and U.S. House and Senate leaders. The 2020 elections are right around the corner, so this is one weekend you won't want to miss. We provide free scholarships for students. Register online at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808. That's 1-877-372-2808.
Are you looking for timely and honest coverage of the latest news? Do you find it difficult to sort out what is true and what is false from the media? Family Research Council is here to help. FRC President Tony Perkins' daily Washington Update email newsletter addresses the most important current events affecting religious freedom, the protection of life, marriage and family, and more, not only in Washington, but around the world. The Washington Update's daily articles cover a range of topics, from underreported stories about transgender activists' efforts to infiltrate our schools to updates on court cases fighting for religious freedom, parental rights, and the protection of life. Don't miss this critical, in-depth analysis of the day's most essential stories that are shaping our nation's future. Learn more and subscribe by visiting frc.org/update. Again, that's frc.org/update.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right. The Los Angeles Times is reporting that thousands of students formed human chains outside schools before the bell rang across Hong Kong today to show solidarity in the push for democratic reforms after violent weekend clashes in the semi-autonomous Chinese territory. Now, the silent protest came as the Hong Kong government condemned, quote, the illegal behavior of radical protesters, end quote, and warned the U.S. to stay out of its affairs. The protesters actually calling for President Trump to stand with them. Now, the series of protests over the last 14 weeks is the most upheaval that Hong Kong has experienced since the former British colony returned to China, back in 1997. Joining me now to provide his analysis is our good friend Gordon Chang, columnist, TV pundit, and author of The Coming Collapse of China, who just returned from Hong Kong. Gordon, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Tony.
All right. I want to hear firsthand, what did you see during your visit?
We were at the Mong Kok police station on Wednesday night, where protesters faced off against the police. We left before the police actually charged a line of protesters, but it was quite a noisy scene. And what was interesting was that as cars passed, because they were passing along on Prince Edward Road, which separated the police from the protesters, a lot of ordinary people, you know, and even in some very fancy cars, were honking their horns in support of the kids. These kids are the ones that we see are dressed in black, got gas masks, all the rest of it. But what really impressed us as we talked to them was their humanity, their determination to stand for their self. And we also saw a guy came up to me, and he said he was from China, and he came down to support the Hong Kong protests, which is a real indication of change in China, and of course, something that is going to be significant for Chinese ruler Xi Jinping as he sees contagion, the spread of protest into China itself.
Now, Gordon, I know you're an expert on that region of the world, but when you see television news reports, you read those reports, those seem to be, you know, one-dimensional. But when you're actually there on the ground, you see things that the camera can't catch, that reporters don't report. What did you see while you were on the ground there that surprised you that really was an aha moment for you?
Well, I think it was, Tony, it was when ordinary Hong Kong people who were not protesting, supporting the kids. So normally in Hong Kong, when someone blocks your way, they'll get pretty upset. But we didn't see any of that on Wednesday night. And on Tuesday night, I was with a delegation from the American Conservative Union. I didn't go out to Kowloon Bay where there was another protest. But that was significant because my friends there, Matt Schlapp, Dan Schneider, the chairman and the executive director of ACU, were saying that they saw just ordinary residents come out and really complain about the police, because the police were arresting a young protester. But clearly the people there were on the side of the kids. And that's a real indication that Hong Kong society is coalesced among even the kids dressed in black. So that is that aha moment where you see society banding together against the police, against the Hong Kong government, and, of course, against China.
So to me, Gordon, that would suggest that they're going to go the distance on this, that they are resolute in their stand for democratic reform.
Absolutely, Tony. And that is that's the big thing that we've seen in the beginning of these protests, going back into the middle of June. When the kids were actually engaging in not only civil disobedience, but also violence, the dog that did not bark was that the people in Hong Kong did not complain, did not criticize the kids. What they were focusing on was the excessive force used by the police, the intransigence of Carrie Lam, the Hong Kong chief executive, the top political official, and also in China. And that really meant that there was a very different Hong Kong than there was 5 years ago, when there were a lot of complaints about the kids who were occupying major thoroughfares in Hong Kong. So right now you see society united.
As the level of the calls for U.S. support this weekend, calling more for President Trump to stand with them, how much are they leaning or hoping for U.S. support to facilitate the outcome they're looking for?
I think so much support for that. Yesterday, Sunday in Hong Kong, there was a march up to the U.S. consulate. And Michael Yeon, who's a war correspondent, an American war correspondent, said he saw about 1,000 American flags. And really what the protesters want is the United States to start imposing some costs on China and Hong Kong. They know that it will hurt Hong Kong, but they're willing to accept it. And what they say is that anything that weakens China helps them. So, for instance, you know, in our country, there's a lot of division over the tariffs that have been imposed on China.
Right.
There's no division on that in Hong Kong when among the protesters. They really want those tariffs because they see that as a way of the United States showing its support for the kids.
Do you think America is ready to go further down that path, the administration?
Yeah, I don't know. President Trump has been pretty quiet about all of this, so I guess the answer probably would be no. But this is important for us because the same regime that threatens the autonomy of Hong Kong also attacks our democracy and our society. So we've got a common foe. And while those kids need us, we need those kids because they're the front line of democracy.
And this is putting China to some degree back on their heels, even in the trade negotiations. And this keeps them a little bit off balance.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You got that right, Tony.
Gordon, as always, appreciate the update. Obviously, this issue is not going away, and we're going to continue to track it. So we're going to continue to look to you for insight into what is unfolding there in Hong Kong. Gordon, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Tony. Thank you.
All right, we will continue to trade. This is a big issue. Actually, all day today I was in a hearing, a meeting of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. And of course, top of our list of one of our concerns is China, one of the greatest abusers. So we're going to continue to track this. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking with Samaritan's Purse with Sissy Graham Lynch about the relief efforts in the Bahamas and how you can help. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Did you know that Planned Parenthood was using taxpayer dollars to perform abortions? Recently, the Trump administration made changes to a healthcare policy called Title 10. The changes to this policy now eliminate the loopholes organizations like Planned Parenthood were using to receive taxpayer funding for abortions. Planned Parenthood was hiding behind terms like reproductive health care and services like cancer screenings and contraception distribution, while in reality, they were making money off of abortions. This shift in funding will benefit community health centers that provide needy families with family planning resources and health services, regardless of their ability to pay. It will also benefit pregnancy resource centers that provide care and free resources to women who may be experiencing an unplanned pregnancy. This policy decision is the right move to help and protect American lives. To learn more, visit frc.org/Title 10. That's frc.org/Title 10.
Hi, my name is Bailey. I am serving as an intern at Family Research Council, and it has been a life-changing experience. Interns join FRC's team of experts as they embark upon the mission of advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a biblical worldview. The FRC internship is a 12 to 15 week program designed to educate and inspire university students who are passionate about public service and who believe that a biblical worldview is fundamental to the reformation of government and culture. As interns, we receive the opportunity to work alongside and be personally and professionally developed by FRC's team of experts. This paid internship offers free housing in the heart of DC, which allows us to be fully immersed in the fast-paced political climate and to build a community with other faithful conservatives in our nation's capital. For more information and to apply, visit frc.org/internships. That's frc.org/internships.
I'm Tony Perkins, and this is Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. All right. Hurricane Dorian, a Category 5 storm, hit the Bahamas, made up of over 700 islands, especially hard hit. 180 miles east of South Florida, Dorian packed sustained winds of 185 miles per hour with gusts up to 225 miles per hour. Right now, the death toll has risen to 45. At least 13,000 homes have been destroyed or seriously compromised. 70,000 people are reported homeless. What complicates this is it's an island, and it's out there by itself. So getting relief efforts in, getting news, I mean, it's anytime you have a storm of this level, the devastation is hard. As I was talking with Gordon about what's happening in Hong Kong, how the camera doesn't really capture everything. Well, when you talk about a storm like this, just the pictures, as devastating as they appear, don't even begin to capture the reality of what's on the ground there. And then, of course, being an island so far removed is even more difficult. Well, Samaritan's Purse was one of the first international organizations to respond to the devastation. In the Bahamas, the International Christian Relief Organization originally responded with a DC-8 cargo plane loaded with more than 30 tons of critical relief supplies, emergency shelter material, household water filters, and two community water filtration units specially designed to turn salt water into drinking water. In fact, even before I bring our guests on, you can go to SamaritansPurse.org. to find out how you can be a part of this. But let me just tell you, this is one of the best. There's many, okay, but this is one of the best. I've worked with it many times domestically here in floods, hurricanes, storms. They're one you can partner with and support. They've got 82 disaster response specialists on the ground right now. Joining me now to talk about the latest and what is happening and how you can be a part of it is Sissy Graham Lynch, Franklin Graham's daughter. She's with Samaritan's Purse, and she joins me now. In fact, she was in the Bahamas just recently. Sissy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony, for having me and sharing what Samaritan's Purse is doing.
Let's just jump right into this. I understand you've been there on the ground. Is that correct?
No, sir. I will be going there this week.
Okay.
We first, just being in the emergency phase of things, we're getting our staff there on the ground. And just today, I set up our emergency field hospital.
right, what are the reports that you're getting back from the folks that you do have there on the ground?
You know, the conditions are very rough. Obviously, like you said earlier, over 70,000 people are homeless. But it's hot, it's muggy, just no electricity, no water, no food. But the hardest thing is the distribution of it. Like you said, these are islands, and the hardest hit islands are the hardest ones to get to. So we have to work out of Freeport and Nassau and then take smaller planes or barges into the hardest hit areas.
So, Samaritan's Purse, how are you focusing on one, a particular area, or are you trying to meet the need as broadly as you can?
Well, right now, one of the greatest things that we're doing is our emergency field hospital that we were asked by the World Health Organization and the Bahamian government to bring in. That will be set up in Freeport because right now, of course, just the emergency need now, but their hospitals are also taken out, so those hospitals won't be up and running anytime soon. So this is a hospital that can, it has an emergency room, an ICU in it, and it can see up to 100 patients per day and 10 surgeries per day.
So what is the greatest need that Samaritan's Purse has right now? I mean, you obviously, you are getting resources in there, and financial support can be obviously is critical. The need here is so great. Are you also looking for volunteers? Are you at that stage yet?
We're not, just because we're in the emergency phase of things and still just trying to get those essentials to people and getting set up. Our hospital's just finished being set up today. We'll see its first patient tomorrow. The best way is to go to our website and social media to stay connected and up to date. Obviously, at this stage, the best way to be involved is to give. But absolutely, the prayers are needed. You know, the power of prayer, these people lost everything. Our staff will be on the ground for a long time with very harsh conditions. So I encourage you, SamaritansPurse.org.
All right. We certainly will do that. Again, having gone through a number of these storms, it is it's hard to put into words sometimes the helplessness and even hopelessness that people begin to experience shortly after the storm comes through and they look at the devastation. And having people on the ground there like Samaritan's Purse that know exactly what needs to be done, respond to it, but also with an encouraging word of hope, makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, we just we go there with our greatest need.
All right. Sissy, thanks so much for taking out a few minutes to join us. And we'll obviously want to follow up with Samaritan's Purse as you get on the ground there and find out more about how we can help. Folks, go to TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow the links over to the Samaritan's Purse where you can be a part of helping out in this effort. In fact, Samaritan's Purse is going to be our faith and action partner at the upcoming Values Voters Summit coming up October the 10th through the 13th. And this is an outreach of the Christian community to help people in need, and they do it very effectively. So go to TonyPerkins.com. And follow the links over. All right, when we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls on this Monday afternoon. So more to come of Washington Watch. Don't go away.
We live in a time of great political division, and this division only intensifies during campaign season. The toxic tone in politics can be discouraging, which makes it a very real temptation for many Christians to wipe their hands of politics altogether. After all, if God is sovereign and controls the heart of the king, as Proverbs says, do we really need to get involved in the messy world of politics? Because political engagement can be divisive, shouldn't Christians abandon politics and direct their energies toward more spiritual pursuits? Christians are called to submit every area of their life to God, which includes how they engage in politics. But they are called to engage biblically. This requires Christians to be prepared to follow their political theology to its logical end and vote for candidates and parties that support clear biblical values. For more information on the Christian's call to engage in politics, visit frc.org/engage. That's frc.org/engage.
radical abortion laws in New York, Illinois, and Vermont are challenging the sanctity of life. These laws have lifted the few existing restrictions on abortion in the name of family planning and mental health of pregnant mothers. Americans need to take a stand and defend the rights of the unborn. Family Research Council is sending Congress 90,000 baby hats as a reminder that babies should be welcomed with love and warmth, not potential danger. Supporters have already funded over 45,000 hats. We are over halfway there. Join Americans across the nation and donate $9 to send a powerful reminder that young lives need to be cherished. When you take action, we'll send you an end birthday abortion certificate that will remind you to pray for born alive babies who are facing the danger of being killed outside the womb. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com for more information. That's endbirthdayabortion.com.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council here in Washington, D.C., and I would like to invite you to join my wife, Luana, and I, along with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, for FRC's Israel Tour, June the 2nd through the 12th, 2020. Whether you're sailing on the Sea of Galilee, standing in the ruins of Capernaum, or journeying up to Jerusalem, Israel is unlike any other place on earth. You'll relive the final earthly days of Jesus as you pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. You look upon Golgotha and stand in the garden tomb. The reality of his story will come alive in a transformative way. This one-of-a-kind tour will not only allow you to explore the land of the Bible and the roots of our Christian faith, you'll also hear firsthand from some of Israel's political, defense, and religious leaders. Join us June the 2nd through June the 12th for this life-changing experience. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon. The website is TonyPerkins.com. Good to be back here in D.C. behind the microphone. After taking some time off during the month of August, Congress is back as well. As I mentioned earlier, tomorrow, House Republicans will be having a hearing. They couldn't have a formal hearing, and so they're having their own hearing on the Abortion Survivor Protection Act, the Born Alive Bill. That will be 1 o'clock p.m. tomorrow afternoon. I hope to have a link up on TonyPerkins.com. We'll be able to stream that. So if you want to watch that tomorrow. Speaking of that, by the way, I'm going to take some phone calls here on the topics we've been talking about today. If you want to weigh in, 866-372-7234. I know I hadn't taken calls in a while. I hadn't been on the air for a while. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Coming up again, October the 10th through the 13th, Values Voter Summit. So if you want to, now is the time to make plans to be there and be a part of this event. Here's what I'm losing track. Got too many things in front of me. Got too many things I want to talk about after having not been on radio here for several weeks, or a few weeks. On this issue of the born alive, all right, I was talking about this earlier with Congressman Estes, and people say, oh, it's not needed. It's not a problem. It doesn't happen. It's a solution in search of a problem. Well, today we also start after a little hiatus. The Washington Update is back. And if you're not getting that, you can get it. Again, TonyPerkins.com. That's the place where you can go to get everything you need. You can get the update, sign up for that. You can also, better yet, get the app, the Stand Firm app. You can get it all right there on your smartphone. But today, one of the articles, and I'm going to read just a portion of it, is about David DeLight. And you've heard about David been harassed by the left because of his undercover videos that he did exposing Planned Parenthood and the trafficking of baby body parts. All right, so in the court hearing, in one of the hearings, one of the undercover videos that was discussed in the court hearing, Kate Dyer, known as Doe 12, freely talks about the great demand for raw fetal tissue and that it is insanely fragile. The brain tissue is best shipped in the basically. I mean, this is a little graphic, but in the whole head. And this is from the video, upon which Leiden says, sure, make just – I'm going to skip this because it's just it's pretty graphic. But it does speak to how – just how serious this issue is. But anyway, continuing on, LifeSite News, who covered the preliminary hearing, reported that the group's CEO – went so far as to say that the baby's head could be procured attached to the baby's body or could be torn away. When Peter Breen, DeLeiden's attorney from the Thomas More Society, pressed the Stem Express CEO about its connection with studies that required a beating heart, she hesitated. Again, I'm reading from today's update. When the judge demanded an answer, she said reluctantly, quote, yes, we have provided heart tissue to Stanford University, end quote. Now, afterward, Breen made sure the media understood the gravity of her answer. That is, quote, that is an especially gruesome admission, but it begs the question, how did they get these fully intact human children? If you have a fetus with an intact head and an intact body and intact extremities, that is something that would indicate the child was born alive and then had their organs cut out of them, or that the child was the victim of an illegal partial birth abortion. Both of these are violent acts, end quote. So, again, this is probably part of the reason why the left is fighting and Planned Parenthood so aggressive against David DeLeiden in these undercover videos. And you've had, you know, a number of, well, not a number, you've had some state attorney generals on the left going after him, in California in particular, because it exposes, A, they were in fact trafficking baby body parts, B, they were violating the law, and C, suggests that this law that Congress is trying to pass, the Republicans, conservatives are trying to pass, is in fact needed. And so they want to prohibit that information from coming forward. That's why they don't want a hearing. That's why they don't want to vote. But this is the kind of information that needs to get out there. This does happen. And it is one of those issues, as I said earlier with Congressman Estes, is a defining issue of who we are as a people. Is this what we want? Do we want to be a nation in which children, babies, who survive an attempt on their life then via abortion are then killed by or allowed to die by medical professionals who take an oath to do no harm? You know, to use a phrase that's unfortunately more frequently frequently used these days, it's a slippery slope. I mean, if once we go down this path, we begin to devalue human life. It doesn't stop just with children, and we're seeing that. So this is a big issue tomorrow as they have this hearing, and we're going to continue to build the pressure to have a vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivor Protection Act. And that's a part of our push with Nancy Pelosi. We're still moving forward with our Baby Hat campaign. We are working toward that 90,000 mark. We're over halfway there. And once we arrive at that point, we're going to deliver those to Capitol Hill to Nancy Pelosi, so that she cannot fail to see the significance of this issue. If you'd like to be a part of that, there's still time for you to join in the Baby Hat campaign. There's a link at TonyPerkins.com, actually top of the page of the banner, TonyPerkins.com, and you can be a part of that. Now, speaking of life, the sanctity of life, you know, a lot has happened in the last few weeks. I've been on a couple of times. You may have seen this. I was a week ago Sunday. I was on Fox Friends Sunday morning talking about the shootings that had taken place. I was actually talking about a piece that I had written for FoxNews.com. And so I was on Fox News, and it just happened to be after the latest shooting there in Midland, Texas, in Odessa, Texas. And, you know, I made the point, which to me is a pretty simple point, when you consider all of the gun laws we have, places like Chicago, places like Washington, D.C., right here in D.C., some of the strictest gun laws in the country. But yet it did not keep a man from coming in our building and shooting one of our people. And had it not been for Leo Johnson, who was shot but still was managed to disarm Floyd Corkins, many more people could have died. Gun laws didn't stop him. And my point was, we don't have an absence of gun laws. We have an absence of morality. That's what we're losing in America. I mean, after, you know, really 6 decades of this march through America's institutions by the left, driving God from the public square, morality is left. And George Washington, he made this point in his farewell address. I've talked about it many times on this program. He said, look, don't think that you can have morality without religion. It doesn't work. Morality and religion are two key pillars to the republic that you're hoping to build. Well, we drive religion, God, from the public square, and then we're shocked that morality is left. And I put a finer point on it, to which the left clearly didn't like. But when you look at what's happened in our classrooms, in our schools, we've been teaching evolution that children are nothing more than a chance product of evolution, primordial slime. They emerge from that, and then we're shocked that they treat their fellow Americans like dirt. We've taught them that there's no purpose, no value to them. They're just here by chance, as opposed to the fact that, you know, we're created in the image of God. Therefore, we have inherent value. We have purpose. We have meaning. And in fact, still 40% of Americans, according to Gallup, still believe in creation. You add to that another 33% of Americans who have this syncretic view of a mixture of God and evolution. You have 3/4 of Americans believe God was involved in creating man and everything else. What's controversial about that? Nothing except the left wants to keep their lock on America's institution, and it begins in the classroom. That's their sanctuary. And they want to continue to indoctrinate our children. And guess what? My point is this, and I do not back away from it, but we continue that, and we're going to continue to get the same results. Desperate people doing desperate things. So yes, I'll have a conversation about keeping guns out of the hands of violent criminals or potential criminals, those who should not have guns, but only if the left is willing to sit down and have a conversation about how we restore morality in America again, a sense of value to human life. And that has to come with a discussion of religion and what we do to protect it and the exercise of it in public. You want to have that conversation? I'll have it. Happy to have that conversation. Because I'm, as a former police officer, even though I'm an ardent supporter of the Second Amendment, I know there are some people that shouldn't have guns. And I'm willing to see if there are weaknesses in our laws. But only if we're willing to go beyond the symptom to talk about the source. I'll see if the left will take us up on that. All right, I'm going to try to work in a call or two here before we wrap up today. 866-372-7234. And let's go to Joe in Ohio. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
I just thank the video team that exposed Planned Parenthood. Hey, thank you for keeping abortion in the forefront. We need the Christian conservative pro-life voters to get out this year. We need to support Dan Bishop in North Carolina and all the other pro-life candidates. God bless you.
Thank you, Joe. Joe brings up a good point, a reminder, I should say, that we need to keep this issue of the sanctity of human life in the forefront. There are many issues, right? Many issues. This is a defining issue. It's one of the defining issues. And I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, I just don't like the way politics are going. I don't like what the party is doing this or doing that. I'm just going to say this. Don't be distracted by the personalities. All right, some people are charismatic, some people are not. Some people rub you the wrong way, some people, you know, maybe you like them. In fact, I mean, there's a lot. I like most people. But when it comes down to who I'm going to support, I want to look at what they're doing and where their policies are leading us as a nation. And life is one of those key policy issues that we cannot afford to continue to tolerate this attack on the sanctity of human life. And that's one thing about this administration that I deeply appreciate, is that they just didn't hit the pause button from the radical pro-abortion policies of the Obama years, which generally that's what Republicans do when they come in behind these liberals. They just push the pause button and it doesn't get any worse, but it doesn't get better. Well, this administration is actually pushing reverse. And I know that's driving the left crazy because they're undoing the bad policies of the previous administration. So don't get distracted by the personalities. Focus on the policies and what actually are happening, the policies that are happening, the impact that is being made. And there has not been in my lifetime, I'm 56 years old, and especially since I've been tracking politics for the last and been involved in politics for the last 25 years, there has not been a more pro-life administration in Washington, D.C. than the one we have right now. There has not been an administration that is more supportive of true religious freedom, not the freedom of worship, but the freedom of religion, the ability to live out your faith, to practice your faith, to teach it to your children, to apply it to your business. That's true religious freedom, and that's what this administration and their policies are seeking to restore systematically. Now, a lot of damage done, again, through the Obama administration and the years prior to that through neglect. But this administration is working to restore it. So stay focused on the policies, not the personalities. All right, folks, time's up for today. But Lord willing, I'll be back again tomorrow. And I hope you will as well. Share it with your friends, the Stand Firm app. They can listen to Washington Watch anywhere in the world. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.